You might want to look to your neighbor and say that. Keep the main thing the main thing. You may be seated. Keep the main thing the main thing. As I alluded to last week, there are many things that you and I could do individually. There are many things we can do as a church. But there is one mandate. There is one command. There is one directive that God has called us to do. He's called you and me, Elder McAfee, to make disciples. He's called you and me, church, to make disciples. What is a disciple? Basically, a learner of Christ, a follower of Christ, someone who has submitted and bowed down their life to Christ. That's what we're called to do. We need to keep the main thing the main thing. We're called to make disciples. We're called to make people who worship God, make people who begin to look and live like Jesus. That's what the Lord has left me and you here primarily to do. And so in verse 18, after Jesus had, of course, he had been crucified, he had been buried, he rose again with all power in his hands, and then he walked the earth 40 more days. He walked the earth 40 more days post-resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15 said he appeared to over 500 people. So that gets rid of one of those theories. People always try to explain away, Brother Rodney, the Christ's death on the cross. There's one explanation. They call it the swoon theory, saying that Christ really didn't die on the cross. He just passed out. So when they took him down and laid him in the tomb, he wasn't really dead. That's why he woke up. No, that's a lie. That's a lie. It takes more faith to believe that crazy stuff than just believe the truth. Another theory that some people come up with, all these people are pagans, they're unsaved, they're lost, they're trying to think of a way that they can get around God. So another theory they've come up with is that they call it the hallucination theory, that the disciples who followed Jesus wanted to see him so bad, they wanted to see him resurrected so bad that they thought they saw him. Well, it must have been about 500 people who thought they saw him. That's a lie too, that's a lie too. Did they just say Christ died and he rose again? He died and he rose again. He walked there at 40 more days telling his followers what he wanted them, Brother Olin, to measure in. And here it is right here in the text. He also mentions in Luke. He also mentions in Mark. He also mentions in Acts. So it's all over the place. So here it is right here. His disciples went to where he told them to go, to this mountain. And verse 18 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them. If you're taking notes, you want to jot this down this morning. Jesus came to them and he comes to us. Jesus came to them and he still comes to us, Deacon Beasley. He still comes to us. That's great news. I said, that's great news that Jesus still comes to us. It's comforting to know that, Brother Charlie, that Jesus still comes to me. He still comes to you. He comes to us to commune with us. He comes to us to abide with us, to tabernacle with us, to hang out with us, to spend some time with us. So this morning, saints, how is your Jesus time these days? How is your Jesus time these days? Are you spending time with him and in his word? Do you have a Bible reading plan? Now, we have some right out there on the credenza. You can just come up with your own Bible reading plan. How is your devotional time? Talk about Jesus coming to us now. Or are you partaking of things we offer here at the church? Like Kingdom Man is a very great class. I had about 13 or 14 brothers in there this morning. So you can come and join us in Kingdom Man during Sunday Blast time. Kingdom Woman time. They have a Bible study for our ladies also called Kingdom Woman. And also, as Brother Rodney, we prayed earlier for our teens. They got a study. Tony Evans came up with these studies called Kingdom Kids. That's all offered during our blast time. So that's a good opportunity to come and begin to grow all the more in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus said this. Listen to what he said in Revelation 3:20. This is written primarily to the Christian, primarily to the church. We often use it in evangelism to talk to people who are unsaved. It could be used there. That's kind of the secondary meaning, but it's really pointed toward you and me. Listen to what Jesus said in Revelation 3:20. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Jesus said, I'm knocking on your heart. Say, if you just open up your heart, open up the door of your heart, I'll come into you and dine with you and sup with you and hang out with you. What a great request. Jesus said, if you just open up the door, I'll come in and hang out with you, dine with you, and sup with you. The God that we serve is a communal God. God is a relational God. Listen, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they relate to each other. Not three gods, but one God who exists in three persons. So God wants to have a relationship with you and me. After you get saved, he wants to walk with you and walk with me. Jesus comes to them saying, so spending time with Jesus should be the top priority in your life. You're not going to hear anything new coming from this pulpit this morning. This is just maybe a review. This is just kind of a reiterating things that you and I should already know. Jesus wants to be a top priority in your life. Now, if Jesus is a top priority in your life, watch this. Making disciples will be a byproduct of that. But if Jesus is not a top priority in your life, making disciples is not that big of a deal. But if you're hanging out with Jesus, you're going to be about, I want to help other people know how they can hang out with Jesus too. You know, I don't want to just keep this to myself. I want others to know about it. So Jesus came to them saying, listen to what he says. He says, Jesus says to them and to us, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. I think that pretty much covers everything. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Let me say that one more time. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Jesus has all authority. He has all authority. He has all power. And as I often hear people say, the New Testament was written primarily in Greek. You know what all means in Greek? It means all. It means all. All authority. Sister Johnson, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, Jesus says. Philippians 2:9-11. Listen to this. Philippians 2:9-11. For this reason also, God highly exalted him. Talking about Jesus. God highly exalted Jesus. And gave him, Brother Terrence, and gave him the name which is above every name. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I heard Tony Evans say this one time in a sermon. He said there's going to even be a prayer meeting in hell. You know, even the devil, the demons, and those who have rejected Christ, they still going to have to say Jesus is Lord. And there's not going to be any redemptive value in that, but they still going to have to say Jesus Christ is Lord. If you ask the rich man, when Jesus told a story about the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man who ended up in hell, and he said, will you please just send Abraham over here to give me a little water? He would tell you that Jesus Christ is Lord. Matter of fact, he said, send somebody to my brother's house. I don't want them to come down here with me. One day, every knee is going to have to bow. Every tongue is going to have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So I want to say, if you haven't bowed to him today, if you haven't bowed to him yet, today is a day of salvation. Today is a day to bow to Christ. Say, Christ, I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my leader, my savior, my king. I want to bow to you. I want you to redeem me. I want you to save me. Because every knee is going to have to bow. So either bow now or bow later. There was an old Midas commercial. Midas, I guess they still exist, but years ago they had this old commercial for Midas, which, you know, you take your car in there and they repair your muffler and your brakes and other stuff like that. And so, you know, with car maintenance, you can ignore it if you want to. You can just keep driving and keep ignoring it. Eventually, you're going to have to take it to the shop. So Midas, their little jingle was, you can bring it in, and of course it would be cheaper. Bring it in, and you pay us now or pay us later. But you're going to pay us one way or the other, they would say. Well, Jesus is saying, bow now or bow later. But you will bow. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me both in heaven and on earth. All authority. So since all authority has been given to Jesus, this is what he tells you and me to do. He says, go therefore. So he's speaking obviously from a place of authority. He said, I got all authority. Heaven, earth. So I want you all to go. The Greek rendering for go therefore, more accurately, it really means as you are going. So it's not like you're at work or you're at home. You say, wait a minute, I got to stop. I got to go and make some disciples. No, Jesus said, as you are going. Sister Jean, your everyday living, you know, as you are going, when you're at home, when you're on your job, wherever you might be, as you are going, as you're enjoying a hobby, as you are going, make disciples. In your regular routine of life, you need to be about, I need to figure out, Lord, how can I be more effective in teaching others how to follow you? That's pretty, it's kind of simple, right? How can I be more effective in teaching others how to follow you? Now, you and I know we can't make anybody follow Christ. I wish we could, but we can't make anybody follow Christ. But we can pray for them, love on them, and encourage them to follow our Lord. Here it is. Let me give you some simple things that you and I can do. Since Jesus had told us, he has told us to go and make this. Listen, this is not a suggestion. This is not, okay, if you can get around to it. No, Jesus, this is a command. This is a directive to go and make disciples. Now, to be a disciple maker, it could be something as simple as saying maybe a kind or an encouraging word to someone. It could be a word of correction. Could be maybe a word of wisdom. It could be a stern rebuke. Could be a warning. Making disciples comes in many different forms. It may be something like this. Open up your home for a Bible study. Or it might be somebody saying, oh, you're going too far now, Pastor. Ain't no, I come in my house. No, it might be. You need to be prayerful and be wise, but you know, I tell you, it's been a while, but we've had small group in our house before. I mean, that's a great thing to do, because a lot of times when people get outside the church, outside these four walls, they really feel a little more comfortable. They kind of, let the guard down, so to speak. And then some people, watch this, some people are not going to even come to the church house. Especially in this day and time that we live in now, many people won't come to the church house. Look around now. We got some empty seats in here. Many people won't come to the church. So a lot of times you got to take the church to them. If they won't come to us, take the church to them. Jesus said, go and make disciples as you are going. Now think about it. If you were a fisherman, you know, you got to get outside the aquarium. You got to go where the other people are. So go and make disciples. It might be something as simple as this. Maybe having a lunchtime, like Brother McAfee and I used to do. Maybe having a lunchtime where you go and take somebody out to lunch. Y'all meet somewhere for lunch and go through the scriptures. Maybe just meeting someone and helping them along in their Christian way. Watch this. Here's another good one as it relates to in-house, in these four walls. Here at Love Fellowship, if you have the gift of teaching, I'm going to say this very slowly. If you have the gift of teaching, you need to be teaching then. Say it one more time. If you have the gift of teaching, you need to be teaching. That's one great way to make disciples. We need youth teachers for Sunday blast. We need youth teachers on Wednesday night. We're getting ready to start children's church back up. And I'm sure Brother Rodney would be like, no, you can't help with the kid. We need teachers for children's church. And even if you don't have a gift of teaching, especially in the relationship working with little kids, you can be there for crowd control, or maybe especially the little bitty kid, maybe helping them to go to the restroom or something. But look, if you got a certain gift, the gift of teaching or the gift of giving, the gift of serving, then use those gifts. So we disciple in here and outside. These are some tangible ways. I'm going to give you a few more ways at the end of this sermon. How you, in case you might not know, you might say, man, I want to make a disciple, but I don't know how. Well, we're going to help you out with that a little bit this morning. Amen. I mean, just yesterday, we went down to the community kitchen. Thank God for the saints that were down there, and we served food. And there was another church down Silver there that had some people down there, and they were kind of passing out the food. So we had a chance to interact with some people, had a chance to talk to this one guy, and we had a great conversation. He was from Michigan, and we just talked about different things. So I had a chance to share with him about what Christ can do. Now, you know, I would love to say he came to Christ, he got saved. No, he didn't do that. But at least I had a chance to plant a little seed, water a little seed, sister cousin. That's what we're called to plant and water seeds. Plant and water the gospel, plant and water the word of God. And God, as only he can do, he gives the increase. Check this out. God, he's called us to be faithful. He's in charge of the results department. Can I say that again? We are called to be faithful. God himself is in charge of the results department. He's the one who regenerates the heart. We can't do that. We can do that for ourselves. Mother Moore, we can do that for ourselves. So my prayer is that as it relates to this commandment from Jesus, that in the DNA of this church, Love Fellowship, individually and collectively, that we'll be about, hey, we need to make disciples. We need to listen to the words of Jesus and go and tell others about Jesus. So Jesus said, go therefore. What are we doing as we are going? What are we going? Go therefore and make disciples. Disciple, again, simply someone who follows Jesus, who worships Jesus, who serves Jesus. They are a learner of Jesus. Go and make disciples of all the nations. So he didn't say go and just make disciples just of your home or your neighborhood or just this community. No, he said go and make disciples of everybody. Somebody say everybody. He's told us to go and make disciples of everybody. All the nations. all the nations. There are no borders. There are no restrictions. There are no nationality restrictions. I'm sorry, President Trump. There are no walls. We can get over your walls anyway. There are no walls. He said, go and make disciples of all the nations. African Americans, Anglo Americans, our white brothers, Mexican Americans, Native Americans, the ones that are here in the first place. Hold on, let me back up for a second. It's a funny thing in our history books. I mean, sometimes our history books don't get it quite right. I said, sometimes our history books don't get it quite right. Now, this book here, the Bible, now it gets it right all the time. It gets it right all the time. But check this out. I've always wondered this. Columbus, he sails, right, to this place called North America. And they say Columbus looked out and saw people on America and say, Columbus discovered America. Now, how did he discover it if people are already here? You know, I don't understand that, brother. So how can he discover it if people are already here? I digress. Let me get back to my text here. But we ought to make disciples of everybody, Native Americans, Asians, Japanese, Russians, Africans, the island of Mon. We need to make disciples of everybody. The indigenous native in the middle of nowhere. You know, there are people right now, as I preach, there are people right now coming up with different versions of the Bible to reach people who maybe don't even have a known language. A lot of people, you know, linguistics, you know, come up with ways, of course. I'm talking about not even a known language. I wish I could get this film. I saw it several years ago. I made a check with Brother Mike Lauren. I saw it through a training he was doing. I think I've shared this with y'all before, but this is just talking about how Jesus said, go and make disciples. And I'm going to get to it in just a minute. He said, I'm with you as you go. So we're not doing this in our own strength. We're not doing this in our own power. Jesus is with us. So check this out. This guy went to this place. They didn't have a known language. They didn't speak French. They didn't speak English. They didn't speak Spanish. And so he had to try to learn how they communicated. So he lived with them a couple of years, about 2-3 years, lived with them, just trying to interact with them, learn how they communicate. And then, check this out. He said, how can I teach them the gospel? I can't just give them a Bible. And so he learned how they communicate. And watch this. He began to act out the Bible. Because this culture, they love to kind of act things out. And so he started in Genesis. And each day around, you know, midday, he would act out part of the Bible. I'm just talking about reaching all the nations as Christ told us to do. True story. And he would just keep acting it out. And he went on up through Genesis and just kind of giving an overview, acting it out. And then check this out. He didn't even talk about it. He wasn't talking, period. He didn't really act out about Jesus until about a year later. And so finally he gets to the star of the show, Jesus Christ. And he began to portray his life. And then he showed how they were about to put him on the cross. And I saw this with my own eyes. And people, the natives were like, no, no, that is wrong. No, this is an innocent man. No, no, no. You know, they were just very adamant because they weren't saying no. They couldn't speak English, but they would just say, don't do it. Don't do it. And so, of course, he portrayed them Christ dying. And these people were really drawn in so much so that one day they brought in a lady who was pregnant, about to have a baby. She still wanted to go and see what was going to happen that day. And so finally, of course, Christ went to the cross. He died. He rose again, and this community started rejoicing. And as best as this guy can tell, from his 3, 4, 5 years of work, just portraying the Bible, just acting it out, as best he could tell, pretty much the whole village got born again, got saved. Oh, that's a good place to clap. That's a good place to clap. He didn't do that in his own strength. He had the power of God with him, the power of the Holy Spirit with him. So Jesus said, go and make disciples of all the nations. When the Lord allowed John the Revelator to look into heaven, John said, I saw people from all nations, from all the tribes, from all people, and from all tongues. I saw people from everywhere. That's what John said. God loves, if you haven't noticed, God, our creator, he loves variety. I think it was me and Sister Cousin, maybe a couple of people talking about this past week. When you drive around, I mean, you got different type of flowers, different colors. I mean, you got different type of trees, got different type of birds. God, it's not hard. Well, it is hard to miss it. God is a God who loves variety. So as it comes to salvation, as it comes to those who will be worshiping him forever, he has people from all over. He has people from everywhere. God is a God of variety. And check this out. You and I get to join God in this great redemptive plan. You and I get to join God in telling others about Jesus Christ. So let's keep the main thing, the main thing. As I said last week, let's just don't talk about it, but let's be about it. So we have this fabulous opportunity to share the gospel. Listen, the gospel is a simple message. 1 Corinthians 15, if you ever get time to read over there, if you haven't read that, I'll allude to it from time to time. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I declare to you the gospel. Okay, Paul, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? He said, I preached it to you. Well, what is the gospel? Listen to what the gospel is. It's simple. He said, here it is. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. He said, Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. This is the gospel. And that he was buried. And that he rose on the third day, according to the scriptures. So there it is in a nutshell. There it is in a nutshell. We serve a God who loves us so much. He sent his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus loved the Father and loved you and me so much that he came down through 40 and two generations, died on Calvary's cross for your sins and for my sin, was buried in a borrowed tomb. See, he knew he didn't have to use it too long. Buried in a borrowed tomb, then rose again with all power in his hands. That's the gospel. That's the good news. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf. He took the hit that you and I should have taken. And he says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever, I love that. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It could be an ex-murderer. It could be an ex-homemonger. It could be an ex-thief. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we have a great message to take to this world. Hey, you know, you've messed up. Guess what? I've messed up. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God, once again, sent his son Jesus. He died for your sins and my sins. All you got to do is confess your sins to God. Confess that I have messed up. I've blown it. I've done some things wrong. I messed up, dear God. All you got to do is repent. Turn from the direction you're going. You're going away from God. Turn back and go toward God. And guess what? God said, you are saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So we have a glorious gospel. I think many of us who've been saved quite a few years, we kind of forget the magnificence and the awesomeness of the gospel. How a person could be on a highway, on a road to hell and be taken off that and put on a highway to heaven. How a person can be an enemy of God and then they can become a friend, a son, a daughter of the living God. I can't think of anything better to share with anybody than that. So the gospel. Yeah, you want to see... You know, your heartbeat, my heartbeat should be, I want to see people get saved. I want to see people born again, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb who is the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to see people reconciled to a holy God. Going and making disciples, oh, watch this. Leading someone to Christ, evangelizing, if you will. I love to tie evangelism and discipleship together. To me, they kind of fit together because once a person gets saved, then they need to be discipled. You need to teach them how to grow, right? So the Bible says, let's look at the text again. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them. We're going to pause right there for a second. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's a great doctrinal message right there. We don't serve three gods, but we serve one God who exists in three persons. We serve a triune God. We mentioned as the Trinity, and it's often been said, you try to understand all that, you might lose your mind, but if you deny that, you'll lose your very soul. I don't understand how God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all at the same time. I don't understand it, but I know that it's true. I know he is my Father who I worship. I know that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. I know that God the Holy Spirit is inside of me, even right now as I preach. And so I don't understand all that, but I know that it is true. So we baptize them. When we baptize, that's an outward sign of an inward change. Don't be like me. I grew up in the church, as I mentioned earlier, and I got baptized as a young lad there in Ebenezer Baptist Church in Strong, Arkansas. And I was 8, 9, 10 years old. Check this out. I went into the pool as a dry center and came up as a wet center. Some of y'all missed that. I went in, lost, came out, still lost. You know, I don't believe in baptismal regeneration. Just because you throw a person in the pool, I might well have some Irish spring soap and just took a bath in us. I mean, it was no redemptive value. But the way it's supposed to work, the Bible says, be saved and then be baptized. Baptism is the first obedience, the first act of obedience that the follower of Christ is given. Once you get saved, hey, go get baptized. We should rejoice when people get saved. We should rejoice when people are baptized. Because the angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner is saved. So if heaven is rejoicing, you and I ought to be rejoicing when somebody get born again. We ought to be rejoicing when somebody go to the pool. So be praying that this year, Love Fellowship, we'll get a chance to baptize some people. I got a call about a week ago from somebody I know, and they had talked to someone who, I don't know if they led the person to Christ or the person recently got saved. They didn't have a church home, and they had some kids. They said, they want to get saved, get baptized somewhere. I said, well, tell them to call me, and we'll do. I haven't heard from them yet, but I'm praying. I need to call the person back who called me. And we don't see people get baptized under the presupposition that they're already saved. So Jesus said, go and make disciples. Teach them about me. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. I'm with you. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So saints, you need to invite the lost to church. Again, if they're not saved, they won't come to church, go to them. Talk to them on your job, neighbors. I mean, we have many opportunities to share the good news. Unfortunately, many Christians share the gossip more than they share the gospel. Somebody say, repeat that, all right? Maybe I said it in my mind. Some Christians share the gossip more than they share the gospel. Remember, I gave that assignment last week, right? Some of y'all say, I forgot it. Some of y'all say, I wasn't even here. I'm going to give it to you again today. This week, share the gospel with somebody. Share the good news with somebody. I remember, I just gave the gospel. It could be something as simple as, hey, Jesus died for your sin. He was buried, but he rose again. And then you can kind of elaborate from there. But share the gospel. I was amazed. I said, okay, since I asked the church to share the gospel this week, this is the last Sunday. I said, Lord, give me some opportunities this week. Guess what? On Monday, every Monday for about 2 or 3 hours, I go downtown to the Pilgrim's Pride, the chicken house. And sure enough, when I went down there Monday, bam, an opportunity was right there. I had a chance to share the gospel. I had a good conversation with this person. I shared the good news. Share the gospel. And they didn't respond immediately right then, but they were listening, so I'm going to follow up if I see them again. I had a chance to share the gospel. I said, okay, God, thank you. Monday, I had a chance to share the gospel. Check this out. On Tuesday, some of y'all might have seen the picture in the paper. My picture wasn't there, but Tuesday, this local group, there were several little things happening around town, but this local group, because it was 9/11, they had like a, prayer meeting and, did a little program at 12 o'clock downtown, on the steps of the courthouse, the Hamilton County Courthouse, right? Brother McAfee, never invite a Baptist preacher to do a little speech at some kind of little gathering. Y'all know what I did. I shared the gospel on a platform where people out there listening. I mean, I had a little sermon, that little 10, they gave me 10 minutes. Probably took me about 7 or 8 minutes. I did 2 Chronicles 7:14. Mother boy, if my people who are called by my name, that's what I did. I said, well, first you got to be his people. Then I opened up the door. See, you got to first give your life to Jesus Christ. So I had a chance to share the gospel on an open platform. Then maybe I stopped praying about that the rest of the week. That was my 2 times, Monday and Tuesday. I didn't have an opportunity the rest of the week. So I need to pray that every day. God, give me a chance this day. See, I'm just being real. I'm being transparent. I don't pray that every day. Y'all don't either. You don't pray that every day. Don't leave me out here by myself. I should pray it every day. I think my mindset is counter toward that way every day, but I got to be more sustainable. I got to be more, every day, more intentional. Thank you. More intentional every day. But just ask him. You don't have to be praying like, Lord, if it's in your will, I'll take that part out. Lord, it is your will. You told me to make disciples. You told me to tell people about Jesus. So give me an opportunity. Give me the words to say, let me, just help me in that process. Take away the fear. Take away the anxiety. Take away all those. Let me focus on that. So he says, go and make disciples of all the nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. Teaching them. Making disciples has to be some teaching in there. Teaching them to observe. What are we teaching them, to Jesus? All things that I have told you. Teaching them all things you are learning. Teach them. So if you're taking those, write that down. Teach them to observe, or teach them to obey. Teach them to follow the words of Jesus. Teach them to follow and obey the words of Jesus. See, it's not my words. It's not your words. It's the word of God. It's Jesus' word. And the word, the seed is good. I said, the seed is good. You're a farmer. I grew up in the country once again. And you know, my mother loves, she raised the garden. And every, you know, you get these packets of seeds, right? And you plant these seeds, right? But sometimes stuff don't come up. Why does it not come up? Stony ground, and every now and then it might be a bad seed, but stony ground, you didn't water it correctly, you didn't take care of the soil. But if the seed is good, it's gonna come up if you do right, if you do what you're supposed to do. Well, we know that the seed is always good. The seed is always good. So we're taking our good seed and we're praying to the Lord, make that heart right. Don't let it be stony heart. Teach me how to go and share with them what I need to be sharing with them. So teach them to obey. See, listen, when a person comes to Christ, let me give you a simple illustration. Because sometimes in the church and as Christians, we miss this. When your child was born, if you have any children, when that baby was born at the hospital, if you are a responsible parent, you didn't leave that baby at the hospital. If you did, we're going to turn you into child protection services. We're going to turn you. You know, you're going to get that baby. You're going to take the baby home. You're going to be in the nurture that baby and give him all that stuff. Change the stinking diaper every now, all that stuff. And don't be talking to your spouse like, okay, was it your time or my time? Oh, I think it's your time to change. Tell you, well, I did that. Am I the only one did that? Tanya, it's your turn. But now we're going to take care of that little baby, right? We're going to nurture the baby, right? We're going to help the baby grow up, right? So it is when a person who is lost, but get saved, get born again, check this out, they are a babe in Christ. We don't need to be saying, okay, brothers, glad you got saved. Go make it the best way you can. The Lord be with you. Yeah, the Lord is with them, but you need to be with them too. So that's part of that, teaching them to observe, teaching them to obey. We should be able to say like Paul. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. A person should be able to look at your life, look at my life and say, oh, okay, that's what a godly man, a godly lady looks like. Maybe the reason we're not teaching folks is because our own lives are kind of junky. And I'm not saying you got to be perfect to go teach someone, but you need to be following Christ, following God. And just say, hey, hang out with me. You see how a Christian man would handle a certain situation. Just hang out with me for a while. So a lot of times making disciples is not all necessarily a formal thing where you come together and you open up the Bible and say, okay, every Monday from 12 to 1, you know, that's part of it. But sometimes it's just, hey, hanging out with you, hang out with me. And, you know, making disciples gets messy sometimes. I mean, your life is rubbing up against somebody else's life. And depends on what background they've come from. They probably got some bad habits. I know some of the guys I used to run with. I remember Pastor Waller, Brother Clint. We went to Dallas to a conference about 3 years ago. And so I called one of my buddies from college. And I hadn't talked with him in a while. And so we just kind of reconnected. The last time I was in Dallas, several years before that, I didn't call him to the last minute. And he was really hurt. He said, man, why you didn't call me? So I was like, okay, the next time I'm in Dallas, I'm going to call you. So check this out. I called him. And I'm talking about trying to make disciples, sharing the good news with anybody, right? And he's still lost. He's far from the Lord. So I went in. He came by the hotel, and me, him, and Clint was hanging out. And my friend, his language was a little different from our language. Somebody going to catch that on the way home. His language was a little different from our language. And so after we left, Clint said, man, your friend, he's something else, man, the way he talked, man. I said, just pray for him, man, pray for him. So as we go and share the good news, as we go and try to make disciples, you know, there's some challenges in that. I mean, it's not always easy, but look, as you're working with people, this is a real practical sermon. As you're working with people, you know, you got to love them. As you're trying to teach them how to obey Christ and teach them how to love Christ, you got to love them. You got to be patient with them. You got to be kind with them. Yet still stern with them at some time, but you got to be patient. People were patient with you and patient with me. It was a guy, I love him. I love him to death to this day. It was in the late 80s, early 90s. I came to Christ in 92, and I used to live in Red Bank. And this brother used to come once a week and just share his heart, share the gospel. He'd come sometimes and bring Christian music. We'd listen to Christian music, and I'm still lost. But he'd come over there just regularly and routinely. He was very patient with me. And he was the first guy, I was about 23 at that time. He was about 26. He was the first guy, listen to me, I grew up in a church. He was the first young black man I saw who was in love with Jesus. I knew older people who were seemingly in love with Jesus. He was the first young African American who was in, and man, that left an imprint on me. I said, like, man, I want to be like him one day. I want to get a relationship with Jesus like him one day. And so he was patient and patient with me. And I guess I wore his patience. He finally kind of gave up for a while. But by God's grace, I got saved and we kind of reconnected. And you know, he's a dear friend of mine. So we got to be patient with people as we're sharing with them. I often say this, we need a Paul in our lives, somebody more mature than we are. We need a Barnabas, some Barnabas type people in our lives who are running kind of like where we are as a Christian. And we need some Timothys, be helping someone else up, Brother Vizo, on his Christian journey. Now, I just said discipleship is tough, right? It's hard. It's not easy. I'm not trying to say this is the easy work. No, it can be difficult, especially in trying to help somebody grow. You know, sharing the gospel should be easy, but it's not always easy. But I'm talking about once a person gets saved, if you're walking with a brother or sister, that can get messy sometimes. Sometimes you get some calls late at night and say, man, I'm in a rough position. I can't, you know, I need somebody. Can you come down and help me? I said, no, brother, I'm about to go to sleep, man. I ain't got time. I'd be thinking that, but I don't say that. But watch this. Discipleship is rough. Discipleship is challenging. But listen, look at the text. It's in the text. Look at what Jesus said. He said, fellas, as you go out, just like he sent the disciples out two by two, he gave them power. He gave them power to heal folks and all that when they went out. He said, when you go out, you're not going out by yourself. He said, I'm with you. He said, I'm with you. Even to the ends of the age. He said, I am with you. I am with you, Brother Sidney. He said, I am with you. So if you're taking notes, write that down. It's a simple sentence, but it's a profound sentence. Jesus is with you. Jesus is with me as we go to make disciples. Matter of fact, he's with us whatever we're doing. He's Emmanuel, God with us. We got a personal God, once again. We don't serve somebody like Allah, whoever, your Buddha. We got a personal God. We got a God, once again, who knocks on the door and says, I want to come hang out with you. When you go and make disciples, I'm with you. I'm with you. So that's the shout this morning, right? That Jesus is with us. That's the shout in the sermon, right? That Jesus is with us. Check this out. He's our commanding officer, but he's not like a lot of officers. You know, if you're in the military, I've never been in the military, but this is what I found out and watched on TV and heard from other folks. A lot of times the sergeant or whomever will give you a command, and then you go off and do it on your own, right? Jesus, check this out, he gives us a command, and then he goes with us. Y'all missing that. He gives us a command, and he goes with us. He goes with us. He goes with us. Matter of fact, he himself, he's so intentional. He said, I've come to seek and to save. Look for those who are lost. That's my mission. I've come to seek and to save those who are lost. I've come to die for those who are lost. And Jesus was so intentional. You know, the Jews didn't really hang out with the Samaritans. Matter of fact, so much so they had, the most direct route to get from a couple of places was right through Samaria, but the Jews would go around it. But Jesus said, look, I must go through Samaria. Well, Jesus, why you must go through that? I must go through Samaria. And he gets there and he meets a Samaritan woman at the well. Once again, Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save those who are lost. I don't care about, you know, y'all don't like to hang out with Samaritan. I gotta save the Samaritan lady. I don't even care according to the customs that are really kind of unusual for a rabbi to be talking to a lady out in public like that. Jesus, I don't care about all that. And so Jesus and the lady started having a little dialogue and Jesus kept talking with her. Y'all read that before. Many of y'all have. And you know, they talked about husbands and she said, yeah, and she talked about her husband. Jesus said, yeah, and basically the man you got now ain't your husband. You know, you shacking up right now. And Jesus kind of told her all about herself. And finally she said, I've met a prophet. I've met a man. Can he be the Messiah? And she gets saved and then she goes and tells everybody about Jesus. Jesus on his way, you know, check this out. People don't routinely walk through graveyards, especially the Jewish people. But check this out. Jesus, he's hanging out around a graveyard because he knew the demoniac was there. This crazy guy was there in the graveyard who needed to be saved, who needed to be delivered. And Jesus cast out all those demons. And the Bible says the next thing, this guy who was crazy, who was breaking chains, who was cutting himself, just acting a fool. The next time they showed him in scripture after he met Jesus, the Bible says he was at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Jesus can do that for you. Somebody ought to be able to testify. When I met Jesus, I was acting a fool. I was acting crazy. But I surrendered to Jesus. Now I'm clothed and in my right mind. I'm sitting at the feet of Jesus. So Jesus came to seek and to save those who were lost. He came to keep the main thing, the main thing. So beloved, as a church and individual, we ought to be about doing the same thing. I want to keep the main thing, the main thing. Because there's a lot of stuff we can get off on. A lot of times the good stuff, don't get me wrong. But a lot of times we can get off on all kinds of stuff. But we want to keep the main thing, the main thing. You know, this is the Southern Baptist Church, and really the Southern Baptist Convention, they really said, hey, we need to get back to the roots, and we want to really get back to sharing the gospel and making disciples. And so they've done a lot of things to try to, you know, improve in an area, even put a discipleship task force together a few years ago. And one of the brothers who used to pastor here in the city over at Brainerd Baptist, Gallatin, he was on it. Also, Kevin Smith, a founding pastor, he was on it, and some other people, trying to come up with better strategies of how we can make disciples. The Tennessee Baptist Convention, they so mission-minded and discipleship-making-minded, they changed their name. They're no longer the Tennessee Baptist Convention. They're the Tennessee Baptist Mission Board. They said, we on mission. We want to be missionaries. We want to make disciples. And I was at a meeting over at Red Bank Baptist about a week and a half ago, and they were talking, giving us some stats, and they said, check this out. It used to be 50%, but now, due to research, it's roughly about 60% of this state, 60% of Tennessee that are lost, that are unsaved. Think about that, beloved. That means 6 out of 10 people, when you leave here today, when you go out to eat or go home or wherever you're going, or when you go to work tomorrow, just statistically, 6 out of the 10 people you see are on their way to hell. So there's a lot of people out there that need to hear about Jesus. Some of those people haven't heard about Jesus. Some have. Some have just rejected him, but some have not. I remember a few years ago, a young lady came to this church, and I've always heard about this, read about this, but that particular day, the lady came, and she had come with someone else, a member who was a member then, and they came up, and she said, look, she's about 18, 19, 20 years old, and she told me, she said, Pastor, this is my first time being in a church. It just kind of blew me away, I mean, because a lot of us kind of grew up in the church. So once again, if they're not coming to the church, they're not coming to the house of the Lord, we need to go to them. I said, we need to go to them as you are going. Let your light shine, beloved. Make disciples. Help the widow. Help the orphan. Impact lostness. Again, I challenge you to get even more involved, get more equipped by coming to Sunday Blast, coming on Wednesday night. I had to get this announcement. Hello, we do have prayer meeting from 6:30 to 7 on Wednesday night, and then from 7 to 8, we have Bible lesson. I know some of y'all missed that, right? Folks not laughing. Folks looking funny. Let me say it one more time. 6:30, we have prayer meeting. 6:30 to 7, we have prayer meeting every Wednesday night. 7 to 8, we have Bible study every Wednesday night. So that's a good way to kind of help get equipped. Matter of fact, here pretty soon when I finish Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to start a study. We'll probably just pass out books to those who want to come called I Am a Church Member. Little old bitty book, powerful little book, though. Just really say it. See, we miss it. You know, just like I got like roles and responsibilities, things I need to do as a pastor, other leaders, you know, deacons and others. Every church member, every Christian, you got a part to play. You got a part to play. I mean, it's stuff for all of us to do. It's not just the leaders or the pastors. No, it's stuff for all of us to do. So that book kind of fleshes it out. But I am a church member. What should I be doing as a member of Love Fellowship? What should I be doing as a member of the body of Christ? So, beloved, once again, look at ways strategically how you can impact lostness. Impact lostness in this city. Impact lostness in this state. Impact lostness in this nation. Impact lostness in this world. Again, Jesus is with us. Sometimes it's easy for us, if we're not careful, to kind of think, well, you know, it's just me, just little old me, or just one church, Love Fellowship, or just, I can't make. Yes, you can. The Lord is with you. If God be for you, if the Lord be for you, he's worth more than the whole world against you. I like what Tony Evans said in his study we're going through. He might have said it in the Kingdom Women or the Kingdom Kids, too. I've heard him say it before, but it makes a lot of sense. You might just say, well, I'm just one person. I'm one man. Well, if one man gets on track, he can make a difference in his family. One family can make a difference in one church. One church can make a difference in one community. One community can make a difference in one city. One city can make a difference in one state. One state can make a difference in this nation. One nation can make a difference in this world. So don't look at it just one me or just one family or one little church. No, no. It starts there, but God can take it and explode it. I said, God can take it and explode it. Y'all with me? So this Once again, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Amen. So again, this is not a suggestion. This is a commandment that every Christian, every church should have on the forefront. Okay, Lord, teach me how can I make disciples? Teach me how I can be a better fit for this. Teach me how I can be a 2 Corinthians 5. Teach me how I can be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. That means we are representatives for Jesus Christ. Teach me, oh Lord, how I can operate in this ministry called the ministry of reconciliation. We have been given that ministry in 2 Corinthians 5, the ministry of reconciliation. We can tell people how they can be reconciled to God, made right with God. We can tell people how they can be redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's good news. That is good. That's great news. So let me, Paul said, this is Timothy. He said, listen to this. He said, things we have heard, which you have heard and seen from me among many witnesses, take these things, commit these things to faithful men who can teach others also. Basically, Paul was saying, Timothy, you've been hanging out with me long enough. You've seen how I live. You've heard me say some things. So take what I've been giving you and pour it out into some other men's lives. And then those men will pass it on to others. And guess what? I know Timothy listened. Somebody said, well, Pastor, how do you know? You weren't back there 2,000 years ago. I know Timothy listened. He and some other, I know they listened. How do I know? Well, they passed it on to some more. And then those more pass it on to some more. They pass it on to others. And they pass it on to others. And they pass it on to others. And they pass it on to others. Guess what? Till it got down some 2,000 years later, somebody passed it on to me. Somebody passed it on to you. So it's like running a relay. You take that baton and you pass it on. As I look at Chris and Sydney, I got to throw this in here on the side. Years ago at TVA, we used to have these like Olympic games every year. And Chris was real fast and Sydney was real fast. I was kind of slow, but, you know, I was on that team. And Brother Rodney, we was in the lead. I had the third leg. We were in the lead. And I got ready to pass it to Chris. And, man, that baton, somehow just came out of my hand. I dropped the baton. And Chris said he was looking, getting ready to catch the baton. He looked back at me and saw me coming. Then he looked back again. I was going in the opposite direction. Had to go back and get the baton. So we finished about in last place. But the next year, though, we redeemed ourselves. And we went on and won the next year. That's how the story ends. We won the next year. So just like in a track race with Usain Bolt and all those guys, how they passed the baton on. The gospel, the word of God, this is our baton. Pass it on to others. Pass it on to your kids and grandkids. Pass it on to your neighbor. Pass it on to your coworker. Pass it on. Just like Paul told Timothy, keep passing on. Ain't nothing changed, so to speak. Just keep passing it on. And then trust God for the results. Trust God for the results. Here it is. I'm leaving with this. I saw this quote earlier this week, and it just grabbed me, and it kind of fits in here as we talk about making disciples strategically. Thorough evaluation reduces frustration. Thorough evaluation reduces frustration. So as you think about making disciples, individual and as a church, kind of think about, okay, how am I going to do it? Evaluate. Kind of, what's the best way to do this? A thorough evaluation reduces frustration. Again, here's something you can do. If you had a gift of teaching, you can teach right here at Love Fellowship. We need youth teachers, and I'm sure we have some adult teachers as well. So that's one way you can help make disciples. Also, once a month, Brother Griggs, Deacon Griggs, leads us, the evangelism team. We go out once a month to use it in this area. We've gone up to Bayberry before. They used to be the Woodlands. So that's one way to be involved. Also, at least pray. At least pray for those of us who go out. Also, as I mentioned about praying, remember last week I talked about pray, pay, and go, or pray, give, and go. You can pray. Also, from 12 to 12:30, Monday through Saturday, we have a prayer line. You can call the prayer line. Call the prayer line. Just this past Thursday, I need to see how it went for them. Mother Moore and Sister Greaves, they joined Jim Sutherland, and they went over on the west side every Thursday around 4 o'clock or so. So there are many ways we can get involved in making disciples inside these four walls and outside these four walls. Get involved with ministers here in the church. See what your gifts and talents are. Say, Lord, I want to use them to your glory. I want to sing in the choir. I want to usher. I want to be a greeter. I want to join some committee that's doing something. So get involved. As I was saying, get in where you fit in. Get in where you fit in. Mentoring. On Thursday, prior to that, we had a meeting. Me and Sister Hardaway and Sister Jean and Sister Toya, we met up at Hardy Elementary School and meeting with the principal up there about some different things. And we basically asked her, well, what's your main needs? And she just cried out in so many words. She screamed out, hey, we need some men to help mentor these young men. And so we wrote letters from the surrounding church, and we had a meeting here Thursday. And I was elated and sad. Elated because there was about 20 to 25 guys who came, about 20 to 25 guys who came from other churches. Then there was just two men from here. It was me and Deacon Hardaway. So I went and somebody said, well, I didn't catch it. I missed it. It's off my radar screen. So I'm going to reiterate that. That's a good way to kind of jump in and make a difference in a young man's life by just being a mentor up at Hardy. About 1 hour a month. You know, you could maybe spend more of about 1 hour a month. Sister Terman, her and Brother Steve had to preach this morning at another church, but she works at Archinard Middle School. They have things for people to do. We're blessed to have several educators. Sister Johnson, she's over at Lakeside as a principal. And Sister Bray as well at Hillcrest. So I'm sure these schools want some men especially, but any men and women, but men to come in. Because many of these schools, the ones I kind of go in from time to time, they're not really any black men and men, period, but that's not any black men in the So just being an African-American male in that building, be it Hardy, be it Archinard, be it wherever, that would make a big difference. That's part of helping to make disciples. I mentioned the community kitchen. I mentioned outreach, NHC. You know, we used to go up there every now and then, take our young people up there. But oftentimes NHC, they want people to come in and minister, and maybe they want preachers to come preach. They want people to come help. That's just a way. That's another way to make disciples. Sometimes we forget about the elderly. We disciple young people, middle-aged people, and older people. Everybody needs some help every now and then. Everybody needs some mentoring, right? Another thing you can do this week, I mentioned it earlier, this week, read in this prayer guide. There are different specific requests, prayers each and every day. Yesterday I read a couple of them and prayed through, actually Sunday and Monday yesterday. So for 8 days you can read in this and pray and say, God, save people in this state. God, show me how I can help make disciples in this state. Show me what my part to do is. And one of that parts is next week we're going to take up a special offering to be sent for missionaries to be in the state of Tennessee. So there are many things, and there are some other things. We the Good News Study Club, they share the gospel. I know Ariana used to be involved with that years ago at East Brainerd Elementary, but right up at Hardy Elementary, they want to have a Good News Study Club. But we need some people from here to be there to share the gospel. Tanya, she's been trained, and I know a couple others here were interested in being trained. I think Sister Cousin is one. And so we need people to say, okay, I'll do this. I'll go up there, you know, one evening a week to share the gospel with some little young kids. So there are many things. I can list more things. But due to time, I won't mention any other thing. But there are many things that you and I can do individually and collectively as a church to make a difference in this East Chattanooga, in Chattanooga, in this state, in this nation, in this world. I'm going to keep saying it. I believe it because God has called us to do this, right? Jesus said, I am with you, right? Jesus is with us. So don't think you're doing it on your own. Jesus said, I'm with you. He said, when you open up your mouth, I'm going to teach you what to say. And I'm going to really want to work on the hearts of that person. So let's keep the main thing, the main thing. Let's not just talk about it, but let's be about it. And as we do it in the power of our triune God. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for the great opportunity how we can join in with you with what you are doing.